I feel a little bit nervous about this introduction because I too am a Camp Masad graduate, but when I was in my first year of Yeshiva College, Rav Fishman Zatzal was my Rebbe, and we had some voluntary 2 weeks of shiurim after college finals, and he asked those of us who came what we were going to be doing for the summer. And I was going to be going to Masad as a counselor, and I somehow didn't think Rav Fishman would regard the Camp Masad as an ideal destination for the summer. So when he got to me and he asked me where I'm going for the summer, I sort of averted my eyes, and I said, Camp Masad. To which he responded, Ich weiß nicht, was ist Camp Masad. Aber du sagst das also, weiß ich, dass du darfst nicht gehen. So this is my YU Camp Masad association. Anyway, now the cover of Camp Masad has been called Mo Munach. My topic today is actually a very delicate one. It's one that has relevance both to halacha and to hashkafa, and also to Jewish-Christian relations. To this very day. Let me begin by trying to, or by reproducing a definition of Avodah Zarah that I once came up with, for better or for worse, when I was looking for some way to encapsulate what Avodah Zarah is. And I came up with a definition that required an immediate footnote. Namely, that this definition doesn't fit what the Rambam calls Ikar Avodah Zarah, by which I think he means the original form of Avodah Zarah, not the primary and most serious form of it. My definition was the worship or formal recognition as God of an entity that is in fact not God. That was the best I could come up with. The worship or formal recognition as God of an entity that is in fact not God. The formal recognition part is to cover the one who says Eliyata and does not actually engage in one of the four forms of actual worship. Now, the reason I needed a footnote is that the Rambam says in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that Ikar Avodah Zarah, which as I said I think means the original form of Avodah Zarah, in the door of Enosh, was the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars, not out of a conviction that they are gods, but out of the conviction that God wants them to be worshipped as his servants. But there are at least some achronim who explicitly say what I think our instincts tell us, and that is that the Rambam's Ikar Avodah Zarah is a less serious form of Avodah Zarah than what the Rambam says developed later, and that is the actual worship of these entities as God, which is certainly the normal form of Avodah Zarah through the ages. Now, if this definition is correct, or is at least serviceable, then it's intuitively very difficult to conclude that Christianity is not Avodah Zarah, since Christians, classical Christianity, worships Jesus of Nazareth as God, and from a Jewish perspective, he is in fact not God. What that means is that it's not so much, and Jewish polemicists of the sophisticated sort noted this, it's not so much that there is a belief in a triune God. There were efforts to define what that means in ways that some Jews were even willing to say not violate Jewish concepts of monotheism, even though they're wrong. If the Trinity simply means God's wisdom and will and power, or if it, even in a more abstract way, it means God's status as intellect, one who exercises intellect, an object of intellect, seichel, maskil, and muskal. then this doesn't violate necessarily monotheism. What Jews, you know, weren't ready to endorse it, but they wouldn't have said it's Avodah Zarah if not for the fact that Christianity affirmed that one of those entities became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth. And that doctrine, what Christians call the incarnation, was really the key not only to the Jewish affirmation through the ages that Christianity, at least for Jews, and we'll get to this in the core of my presentation, is Avodah Zarah, but also illuminated from a Jewish perspective that Trinitarianism or the Trinitarian doctrine itself is also Avodah Zarah, because Jews argued it can't be that the concept of the Trinity really means nothing more than what I said earlier a few moments ago, if one and only one of the elements became flesh. That tells the doctrine of the incarnation, in other words, tells you something about the Trinity itself and makes it impossible in Jewish eyes to interpret the Trinity in a kosher fashion. So we kind of approach this issue, and obviously I've done this in a tendentious way by introducing it this way, but we approach this issue with a kind of presupposition that medieval Jews would assume that Christianity is Avodah Zarah, and they did. Nonetheless, there are a number of passages in Rishoni that confront the question of the halachic status of Christianity from a more nuanced perspective. And a number of these, perhaps most of these passages, emerge out of certain economic pressures that medieval Jews felt, which impelled them to think again about whether the people they were dealing with are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There are a number of famous cases which have been much discussed and which I won't deal with in detail today. The most famous passage, or the most discussed passage, has to do with the prohibition against doing business with idolaters or with pagans or with with Gentiles on their holidays. And this is the first Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, where the reason for forbidding this activity is that there is a concern that the idolater will go and thank his god for this business, the consummation of this business deal. And there are various sorts of business that are prohibited by the Mishnah. That he will go thank his god on his holiday. Much more likely to do that on a holiday than on a regular day of the week. And there is therefore Gzeirah Midrabbanan against doing this. This is not an Issur D'oraisa. It's an Issur D'rabbanan. There's a long Tosfot on Daf Bet, Amud Aleph, in Avodah Zarah, that provides a number of arguments why this prohibition does not apply today in medieval Christian Europe. And the arguments range from Eva, and there is an explicit and compelling proof from the Gemara in Daf Vav in Avodah Zarah, that Tosfot cite on Daf Beis, that really demonstrates that this Gzeirah D'Rabbanan does not apply where there would be a concern of Eva. I mean, it's really an absolutely compelling argument. I will just say as an aside that an example of what happens when academic scholars who don't know how to learn decide to make comments on Tosfot, there is a book which affirms that the Tosafists said that Jews can do business with Christians on their holidays, which would include Sunday, because of eva, that is hatred, one must exploit the hated Gentile. Unquote. Right, think about that for a minute. I mean, this is you take eva, you turn it 180 degrees, and instead of a fear that non-Jews will hate Jews, you turn it into a mitzvah to hate and exploit non-Jews. And therefore, you can't allow a whole day every week to pass in which you would not observe the mitzvah of exploiting Gentiles. This appeared in a book published by Harvard University Press and was corrected in the second edition after I wrote an intemperate email to the author, for which it took him a while to forgive me, if he has. He may have. In any event, in that same Tosfot, there was also a remark that the Goyim Shebeinenu Kim Lon Begavaihu de la Polchei Lavodazor. The Goyim among us, we know about them that they don't worship Avodazor, and therefore we don't have to worry that they'll go and thank. They're gone. Now, it is a near certainty that that Tosfot, despite what it sounds like superficially, is not affirming that Christianity is not Avodah Zorah, but is rather affirming that Christians in medieval Europe are not so frum, and therefore are not so likely to go thank their gods after a business deal, that the gezeira that Chazal imposed relating to ancient pagans still applies. I can't argue this point now, but it's a near certainty that that is the case. And that is how this was interpreted by various other Rishonim. that medieval Jews considered Christians Odei Avodah Zorah, or Christianity to be Avodah Zorah, is evident also in a variety of non-halachic works, ranging from Crusade Chronicles to Piyutim, to the story of Rav Amnon that we all know, and more. There is, of course, also the famous case of the Meiri, which is, again, not what I'm going to be discussing today. Though maybe I'll allude to it again, maybe not. Who invented a category called Umos Gduros Bedarchei Hadosos, nations that are bound by the ways of religions, with respect to whom he argued that discriminatory legislation that discriminates between Jews and Gentiles is inapplicable. And he also says in a number of places that Avodah Zorah doesn't exist among us anymore. Exactly what he meant is a matter of continuing scholarly debate, but there's no question that he makes a number of observations that could lead one to the conclusion that he does not regard Christianity as Avodah Zorah, but he is really the only Rishon who can plausibly be said to have taken the position that Christianity is not Avodah Zorah. And I'm not sure that he took that position either. So with all of this in mind, let's turn to the Tosfot that I want to learn with you today, which is an enormously influential text. Though I think that the section that is most interesting and most revealing is not the one that has received massive attention. The one that has received massive attention received that attention because of what is probably a misunderstanding of what Tosfot intended, though I say this with hesitation, since very great Achronim understood it that way, but very great Achronim also considered it a misunderstanding. So let's take a look at that Tosfot, which is on the back of the page that has the title of this talk on it. Let me give you the background of the Tosfot, and then we'll read this really short passage together. And try to see what it means and how it was utilized. The Gemara says that it's forbidden to, midrabbanan, to engage in a business partnership with a non-Jew out of fear that a business dispute will arise and the non-Jew will be expected in the normal course of events that is relevant to that kind of business dispute to take an oath that he does not owe the Jewish business partner money. And so the Jew will be put in a position of impelling his non-Jewish partner to take an oath, and non-Jews take oaths in the names of their gods. And so the Jew will be indirectly responsible for the non-Jew swearing in the name of his God, which involves a direct biblical prohibition, because Chazal understand Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Sazkiru Lo Yishama Al Picha to refer to two separate acts. Shem Elohim Achirim Lo Sazkiru means you should not mention the name of other gods, and Lo Yishama Al Picha means that you should not cause others to pronounce the name of other gods, at least in certain kinds of contexts. So there would be an aveira of Lo Yishama Al Picha, which is a biblical prohibition, actually, and therefore there's a gzeira d'rabbanan that you shouldn't enter this partnership, lest you find yourself in that position. Someone once told me about another kind of business partnership between a Jew and non-Jew that caused another kind of reaction, which I recently had occasion to tell somebody at a simcha. There was according to this story, there was a chassid who was a business partner with a Catholic, whose daughter was being consecrated as a nun, and so the Catholic decided that he has to invite his Jewish partner to the consecration ceremony, and the chassid felt that for business reasons he has to come, so he showed up, and someone asked him, "What are you doing here?" And he replied, "Ich bin von Husenszeit." But this is I assume that I don't have to translate this for those who don't know Yiddish. I'm sure neighbors already translated it. But Chazal were concerned about a different aspect of this partnership. So there is a Yisid Rabbanon against this. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Gimel, Amud Bet, makes reference to this. Question is, does this prohibition to have a business partnership with a non-Jew apply in medieval Christian Europe? And Tosfot says that it does not apply. And in the course of, and it explains why. So, let's now look at this text. Let's look at this Tosfos together. This is not the whole Tosfos, but it's not a long Tosfos. This is the bulk of it. So I wrote in brackets, Mutar l'kabel shvua min hanochri, ki, and then the continuation is the actual language of Tosfos. Bazman hazeh kulon nishboim bakideshim shelohen, the Ein Tofsim Bohem Elokus, or Elohus. That nowadays, they swear in the name of their saints. Kedeshim was the Ashkenazic pejorative term that was used instead of Kedoshim for saints. Ashkenazic Jews regularly used pejorative language for a Christian sancta. So there's a whole list of terms some of which survive to this day that Ashkenazic Jews used when dealing or when discussing Christians or Christian holy figures or objects. Some of them rather unpleasant, and this is not the time to provide a list. Okay, so why is it permissible to have a business partnership with a Christian in medieval Europe? Because nowadays, when they swear in court, they do not swear in the name of something that they consider a divinity. That is, they don't swear in the name of Jesus, but they swear in the name of their saints, and they do not regard their saints as divinities. So there's no problem of lo yishoma al picha. What is it that you're not allowed to have heard through you the pronunciation of the name of another god? But they don't say another god's name in this case. I should point out, just by the way, that the use of the term Jesus or Yeshu is avoided by some Jews for this reason, but there is a tshuva of the Chavos Yoyer, and there's a Be'er HaGro that indicates that that is permissible. Not to swear in Jesus' name, obviously, but to say the name. So, in this context, I have to mention this because I'm saying the name. So this is answer number one. Okay, straightforward answer. And then comes what I consider sort of part two of this section of the Tosfot. This is an objection to the first answer. Va'afal pi shemazkirini mohem shem shamayim. Even though they mention together with the saints the name of heaven. And we actually know of a medieval Christian oath in which the person swore in the name of God and the four evangelists. In other words, God and saints. Exactly the kind of oath that Tosfot seems to have in mind. They swear in the name of God and the saints. So, Mazkirini Mohem Shem Shamayim, V'chavonosom L'davar Acher. When they say Shem Shamayim, that is, they say God. That's what Shem Shamayim means. They say God, whatever they say, Deus. If it's in Latin or some, French or German equivalent, their intention is to something else. And if you look in the parallel passage of Rabbeinu Yerucham, you will see that I underline Yeshua HaNotzri. As he says explicitly, not the Davar Acher, which is a kind of euphemism of sorts for saying Yeshua HaNotzri. In Rabbeinu Yerucham it says Yeshua HaNotzri, and that's what Davar Acher means, obviously, in our Tosfot. They say God and the saints, and when they say God, they have in mind Jesus of Nazareth, or at least that Jesus of Nazareth is a partner in this entity being called God. And so Tosfot's Hava Amina here appears to be something quite striking. And that is, and this is the way the Chazon Ish explains this, this is something, well, at least the Chazon Ish say this explicitly, or does the Machzis HaShekel may say it explicitly, it's said explicitly. By some of the Achronim who explain this Tosfot, and I think it's correct, that Tosfot has a remarkable Hava Amina here. And that is that if a believer in another god says the word God and does not pronounce the name of the other god, but simply says the word God, which is what we would use also for the true God, if we cause that non-Jew to swear in the name of God, we are being over on lo yishama al picha. Because when he says God, he means a God other than the right God, even though the word he's using is a word that we also use. So that it's actually a problem of lo yishama al picha. Shem Elohim Achim lo says kiri lo yishama al picha. If the other person says God, because he means something other than the true God. And while this seems a little extreme, perhaps, to our instincts, I think we can make it a little bit more palatable if we ask ourselves what would happen if an ancient Canaanite, whose high god was called El, would swear in the name of El. Would that strike us as maybe a problem of lo yishama al picha? I think there our instincts are a little more in accord with this Hava Amina of Tosfot. And so Tosfot actually considers the possibility that by causing a Christian to swear in the name of God, You are overly shom al picha. And Tosfot proceeds to reject this. On what grounds? Well, Mikol Mokom, Tosfot continues, Ein ze shame avodas kochovim, or as the Zer Ben Yeruchim says, more in accord with a pre-censored text, avodah zara. So Mikol Mokom Ein ze shame avodah zara, or Ein mazkirin shame avodah zara. So saying God with the wrong intent is not a good thing, but they're still not saying the name of a foreign god. But Tosfot then continues and says something else to make the situation even better. Gam da'atam lo se shamayim, or in Rabbi Yochanan lo se shamayim v'aretz. And it's not only that they don't say the name of an avodah zara. When they say God, when Christians say God, they are thinking ultimately, or in some sense, of the true God, of the creator of heaven and earth. In other words, what I just said about a worshiper of, a Canaanite worshiper of El, does not apply to Christians. Because even though Christians believe that Jesus of Nazareth shares God's essence, and in that sense, they are engaging in some sort of avodah zara. And if they had said in an oath the name Jesus of Nazareth, and this is an almost unavoidable conclusion from this Tosfot, had they said the name Jesus of Nazareth, that would have been a problem of Yisham al Picha, even though they have in mind Osei Shamayim Ba'aretz. The fact that they have in mind Osei Shamayim Ba'aretz is relevant because they only say God in this oath. And consequently, even though they have Jesus in mind, they also have in mind the true God on some level. And therefore, there's no Yishama al Picha, even if you're not satisfied with the mere assertion that they don't say the name of an avodah zara. If you want to still be stubborn and say that that still is lo yishama al picha because they're thinking of the wrong God, the answer is, well, they're not really thinking of the wrong God, or at least not entirely about the wrong God. I once formulated this in print in a response to the Jewish statement about Christianity called Dabru Emet that was issued in 2000, and which you may or may not have heard of, and I don't want to get involved in that whole story. Dabru Emet said, among other things, that Jews and Christians worship the same God. My reaction was that my answer to the question of whether Jews and Christians worship the same God, based on this Tosfot, is yes and no. As if they had said Yeshua Notzri, this would have been Shemelim Machirim. But if they say God, even though they have Jesus in mind, but they are also thinking about the real God. I mean, this is a very interesting and ultimately subtle question about how serious an error someone has to make about the nature of God before you will say that he or she is worshiping the wrong God. A number of Achronim, working off this Tosfot and other texts, emphasize that Christians believe in Borei Shamayim Va'aretz, who took the Jews out of the land of Egypt, and who gave the Torah, somehow, and who exercises providence, and who ultimately is one. But he did all kinds of things that Jews don't believe he did. But somehow, you know, there is a line where, as long as you don't cross it, then it's not so easy to determine what that line is, that you still say this is the right God. You know, this is certainly an issue with Judaism and Islam, where most poskim affirmed that the Muslims and Jews worship the same God, even though the Muslim God gave an additional revelation, and then on and on and on and on. In any case, so Tosfot affirms that there is no problem of lo yisham al picha if a Christian swears in the name of God, even though he has in mind Jesus of Nazareth. Now, to me, this is the most important part of this Tosfot in terms of the understanding of Tosfot's conception of Christianity. It is Avodah Zarah, but it's what I called a non-pagan form of Avodah Zarah in a monotheistic mode. And now we come to the section of the Tosfot that elicited massive discussion. There is still a problem. We appear to have resolved this problem, right? Of Avodah Zarah, you can have a business partner, because even if he swears in the name of God and the saints, you haven't caused anything that you're not allowed to cause. But Tosfot is still not happy. Va'afal pi shemeshatfin shem shamayim v'davar acher. Even though they are combining the name of heaven with something else, and here Rabbeinu Yerucham also has davar acher, and shituv shem shamayim v'davar acher is a phrase found in the Gemara in a different context. Lo motzinu she'asur ligrom la'acherim l'shatef. There is no. So I guess we have to, we have to figure out what Meshatim Shem Shemayim L'Racher means here. So let me begin by assuming it means, as many Achronim understand it, I would say most Achronim understand it, Meshatim Shem Shemayim L'Racher means that what we've already said before, that when they say God, they have in mind Jesus of Nazareth, and even though they're not saying Hashem Avodah Zarah, and even though they are also thinking of the Creator of heaven and earth, they are still, after all, combining the true God with something else, and that, well, there's something wrong with that in itself. There's something wrong with that, but can we translate that into an Easter of causing that oath? And Tosfos says no. Why not? Because first of all, remember we have two issues here. We have one issue on the table so far, and that is lo yishama al picha. Tosfos hasn't yet raised the question of causing someone else to sin in general. There's a specific prohibition of lo yishama al picha. And Tosfos says, we don't have any specific prohibition against causing another person lishatef. That there's no separate Isur in the Torah about that. There's a special Isur in the Torah of not causing someone to swear in the name of another God. But there's no special focused Isur to prevent someone from shatev. So that we don't have. But we do have the umbrella prohibition against causing another person to sin, which is lifnei yiver lo sita yimichshol. And that applies to causing non-Jews to sin also. That's clear. The prohibition of lifnei yiver is not only a prohibition against causing Jews to sin, it's a prohibition against causing anybody to sin. So, there's no focused Isur. Fine. But there is an Isur. And you're causing someone to swear in the name of God while having in mind Jesus of Nazareth, which is shituv shem shemayim v'davar acher. And on this point, Tosfot says, "V'gam mishum v'lifnei iver lo sitan michshol leka, d'lo huza rubenei noach al kach," or in Rabbeinu Yucham, "al hashituf." There is no prohibition against non-Jews engaging in association of God and something else, and therefore, if you cause this, you are not causing a sin. And there's no lifnei yiver. So, the question is, what kind of sin does Tosfot have in mind when it says that the non-Jew is thinking of Jesus when he says God? Now, presumably, this is a kind of Avodah Zarah. I mean, right? Some sort of Avodah Zarah is being caused here. And they're not allowed to cause it. And Tosfot says, you are allowed to cause it if the person doing it is not Jewish, because there's no prohibition against a non-Jew doing this. Now, so the question is, what is the this? Now, according to one reading of this, Tosfot, what Tosfot means is that non-Jews are not forbidden to worship God along with something else. That there is simply no prohibition against non-Jews associating God with something else. That means that there is a dual definition of Avodah Zarah in Judaism. One for Jews, because this would be Avodah Zarah for a Jew, and one for non-Jews, for whom it is not Avodah Zarah. There's no such prohibition for non-Jews. This reading has enormous consequences. You can call this the liberal reading of this Tosfot, because it means that a non-Jew who engages in Christian worship is not violating the Sheva Mitzvos Mei Noach, is not being Ovid Avodah Zarah by the standards required of non-Jews. And it means that you could sell him stuff that's being used for sacrifice, incense in a church, because he's not doing a vera with it. This is a very strong statement indeed. And there are many Achronim who maintain this position, beginning almost certainly with the Ramah himself. There are also many Achronim who rejected this and understand the shituf that Tosfos says is permissible to a non-Jew to refer to combining, to saying the name of God while thinking also, while combining with him something else in your mind, in an oath. There is no specific prohibition in Dinei B'nei Noach against swearing in the name of God and having in mind something else also. Why? Because there is a general principle in Dinei Avodah Zarah that if a Jew is not executed for this, a non-Jew is not prohibited. If Jews are not neherogim, B'nei Noach eino muzharim. And taking an oath is not prohibited. You're not chayav misa. You only chayav misa on the four forms of avodah, and therefore it's not prohibited to non-Jews, you're not causing the non-Jew to do an avera. Not because worshiping Jesus of Nazareth as a part of God is not prohibited to non-Jews as avodah zarah. It is prohibited to non-Jews as avodah zarah, and Tosfot never meant to say that it was not. Say by the way that if you look at the second Tosfos in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Dalit, you will see, this was pointed out to me many years ago by Mark Steiner, you will see an explicit assertion that selling Livona and other such things to Christians, especially to Christian priests, with the knowledge that they will use them in a church, is prohibited Mishum Lifnei Iver. Explicitly prohibited Mishum Lifnei Iver. So you see that at least that Tosfot thought, as do all other medieval Jewish sources that you can find outside perhaps of the Meiri, that Christianity is prohibited Avodah Zarah for non-Jews also. Now, of course, Tosfos isn't one person. So you could have the Tosfos in Daf Yud Dalet, which quotes a particular person, could differ from this Tosfos in Sanhedrin. Certainly... The strong opinion of you know, the Behuda and of the Chazon Ish and of Rabbi Yeager and others is that Tosfot never meant to say that non-Jews are not prohibited from worshiping God in partnership with Jesus. And finally, there is a third reading of this last part of Tosfot, which also says that Tosfot never intended to say that worship of Jesus alongside God is permitted for non-Jews, but interprets Shituf Shem Shemayim V'Racher differently. According to this, and that's the passage in the Machzis HaShekel. So if you take a look at the Machzis HaShekel, this is on Orach Chaim Kuf Nun Vav. Let's instead of my summer, let's read it together, and we'll see how he says this. I mean, he's quoting other people also. Prima Gaudium has understands it this way, do another, a number of authors of Chuvos that he cites, the Yield Stalker and others. V'choslo tosvos v'afal pi shemishtatfim shem shamayim v'dover acher. Ritzon olona im nomar shemazkirim. Im nomar shemashem mazkirim ein kavanosam avodah zora el levarei shamayim v'aretz umazkirim gam hakedeshim shelohem. What he does here is summarize for you the first two parts of the Tosfot that I reproduced. They're not mentioning, they intend the true creator, but they also mention their saints along, in this oath. So what's going on here? What's the shituf here? The shituf is God and the saints, not God and Jesus. In other words, according to the Machzis HaShekel's understanding of what he's reporting, when Tosfos says that they are after all Meshatev Shem Shamayim V'Dover Acher in this oath, they're not referring to the previous line in Tosfos, which said Mazkirim Imam Shem Shamayim V'Chavonosom V'Dover Acher. Because that's been taken care of already. Shem Avodah Zorah wasn't mentioned, and they have in mind the Creator. Avodah Zorah is off the table. There is a lesser Isur that remains maybe on the table. And that's the Isur of mentioning the name of God along with some other religiously significant entity in one breath. That's prohibited also. But it's not an Isur of Avodah Zorah. It's a completely separate and lesser Isur. So let's look again how he says this. Afal gabdil Yisrael k'hai gavna osur, uchemosha kosav harambam perek yuralef mehilchol shvuos, mishum demashve gidolos, maybe it should be gadus, nivrolev laboreis barach. The Rambam says, and this is based, well, whatever it's based on. V'lo mishum Yisrael avodah zorah. Yisrael avodah zorah is off the table already. So, about this, Tosfot says, Mikomokom benoach lo nitztavu al zeh, this combination of God with some created entity in an oath, vein on wovri mishum lifnei iver, v'gam ein bo zeh isur mishum lo yisham al picho, sh'osur ligram sh'acher miyasu ken. In other words, the last part of Tosfot that says, b'nei noach lehuzer al kach, is not talking about combining God with Jesus of Nazareth at all. So it's something else, which is a much lesser issue. Now, there was a time when I was pretty convinced that this was correct, but the Chazon Ish, when he mentions it, says, "Ki medume she'ein ze avodah zorah, she'ein ze shituf," and he refers to Tosfos on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, which actually the continuation of the Machzis HaShekel also cites. Tosfot there, the Gemara there talks about shituf shei shemayim v'bracha being prohibited. So, and there's a Gemara in Sukkah like that too, about when people left on Sukkot, they said, l'kah u'l'chom mizbeach. And that's where Tosfot raises the question of shituf shei shemayim v'bracha, even though the mizbeach is not a divinity. So Tosfot says, what do you do with the phrase, cherev l'ashem u'l'gidon? Which the Jews said, and that was a good thing, according to the Tanakh, apparently. Isn't that shituf shem shemayim v'dorachem? And they say that this shituf shem shemayim v'dorachem applies only to a midi de elokus, or elohus, something that's to which some divinity is ascribed. So I think, I'm pretty sure, that what the Chazon Ish means is that God, together with the saints, wouldn't be shituf because the saints aren't considered divinities. Now, given the Gemara in Sukkah about the Mizbeach, I think one could say, and there's something similar that the Machzis HaShekel says, that there is a prohibition of shituf shem shemayim v'dover acher when that dover acher is something that is of sufficient religious moment that you could understand that it is being connected together with God. And the Mizbeach would be an example, and the Christian saints would be an example, lahavdil. So in another version, in the Machzis HaShekel, when you do it in an oath, that's a problem. Because when you're swearing in the name of X and Y, then you are, and X is God, and Y is something else, then you are raising that Y to a kind of divine status. In any case, we have here a variety of explanations of this, of the end of this Tosfot, one of which says that non-Jews are not prohibited from worshipping God al derech hashituf, and two say that non-Jews are prohibited from worshipping God al derech hashituf. And Tosfot simply means that either that they're not prohibited from swearing in the name of God while having something else in mind, or that they mean that they are not prohibited from swearing in the name of God and something not divine, though religiously significant. Now, I just want to say one or two more things, very briefly, and if there's time, we'll take questions. And I'll just say, this is a complete aside, which I probably shouldn't take time saying, but I am very uneasy about the phrase in the fila for Chalalei Tzahal that is said on the Yizkir days, that they died al kedushas Hashem ha'am v'ha'aretz. The few times that I've had to say this in public, I've amended the text to al kedushas Hashem the al haganat ha'am v'ha'aretz. There's a tinge of shituf shem shemayim v'darachir in the standard nusach, at least on my emotional level. Let me say something about the Pesach. We have major poskim on both sides of this issue. Whether Christian worship is of Avodah Zarah for non-Jews. Very major poskim on both sides of this question. Consequences are significant in a variety of areas. The theoretical status of a Christian church in Israel. Selling Christians objects that are likely to be used in Christian worship, and more. There are to this day very significant postgame on both sides of this. And someone once asked me very recently, actually, and then posted what I said on an internet site. Never safe nowadays. Whether since I think Tosfot did not mean that non-Jews are excused from the prohibition of shituf in worship, what's my opinion? Well, on my side, you have important poskim who say it's mutter. Am I prepared to say that since I think they misunderstand Tosfot, which means I agree with a large number of other achronim, that this position is to be ruled out? That raises a very interesting question, which I'm not willing to make any kind of unequivocal statements about. What happens, when in the course of the development of a psak, important poskim poskim in a certain way through reasoning that you think is mistaken? Does that mean that their psak is to be set aside, or is it? Does their standing as poskim stand on its own? One of the very interesting questions along these lines is the Jewishness of Ethiopian Jews. Very, very, very sensitive issue. Historically, it's next to impossible to accept the position of the Radbaz that the Ethiopian Jews are descended from the tribe of Dan. But that is the position that Rav Avadia Yosef took, to make a determination that has affected all of Israeli society. And the question is, does the authority of a posek stand independent of the validity of his argument? That's a very interesting question that I leave open. And just one other brief remark. There are two reports in the name of the Rav that have been seen by some people as conflicting. One is Rav Herschel Schechter reports that the Rav said that the position of the Ramah and those and others who said that Tosfot meant to say that Christians, that non-Jews rather, are excused from the prohibition of Shituf even in worship, is Kishgogosha Yotza Mipnei HaShalit. That is, it's simply an error. There was another story told about the Rav. Rabbi Wurzburger told this story. As we have two absolutely reliable sources of testimony here, that the Rav was treated by a doctor, by a Christian doctor in a hospital, who told him that he was having serious doubts about his faith. And the Rav tried to persuade him to remain a Christian rather than to become a non-believer. And there are people who regard these two positions as in tension with each other, because that would mean that the Rav was trying to urge him to be Ovid of the Zohar, that is, to violate one of the Sheva Mitzvos Ninoach. I'm not sure that one has to either choose between the two stories or say that the Rav changed his mind. It is not impossible. The Chazon Ish, in his discussion of this, says that Minus is forbidden to non-Jews as well, and hence it's not out of the question that the Rav's position was that it is better for a non-Jew to affirm what I called a few moments ago a non-pagan form of Avodah Zorah in a monotheistic mode, that is, where he worships the real God in a very important sense and follows the moral code that Christianity shares with Judaism, that it's better to do that than to be a complete non-believer. But that question, too, I leave open. Thank you.